So this may be not what you expect coming from a mission agency guy to talk about trends. I should have maybe asked Google to help me dress today so I could be really right with the trends, but I didn't do that, obviously. But yeah, when we talk about trends, it's kind of a scary word. It's kind of a weird word. But what do you think of when you hear that word? I guess I've already given away some thoughts, but when you hear the word trends...
Hairstyles,
good, yeah. Yes, sir. Change, yeah, ooh. That feels bad, doesn't it, sometimes? Other things. Yeah.
Fashion,
right? Maybe financial markets, right? Or other things like that. Well, you know, I went to the trusty source, Google, and kind of asked what Google thought of the word trend. I thought this was interesting. A trend is a general sustained direction. Or movement in which something is developing, changing, or gaining popularity over time. Social and cultural trends, of course, we've mentioned some of those. Data and analytics, which they describe as general long-term directions in data, often visualized on a graph and so forth. Financial markets, sustained patterns in asset or market prices. Digital trends, of course, hashtags and different things. I've never ceased... It never ceases to amaze me the kinds of things that pick up, trends that become trends on digital platforms. You know, numbers that happen to have always been next to each other that, you know, somehow or another become hugely hilarious, and other things like this. Like, why? I don't know. I don't quite understand those things. So while a trend, there's a difference between a trend and a fad, right? A trend indicates lasting shift or movement, while a fad or a craze is generally a short-lived and highly intense. How many of these types of things really matter, though, is the question. A lot of the things we've mentioned in humor are really, they don't really matter that much. At least we don't think they do until someday we're like, oh, wow, 6 and 7 really do matter. But seriously, they don't really matter. Fashion, you know, yeah, you should look with the times, but that stuff doesn't really matter. But of course, there are trends that affect the world of missions as well. And of course, those things do matter. Well, why? Because, and again, missions, I guess I haven't said this yet, but, you know, as we think about it, the word missions isn't from the Bible. We don't have the word missions in the Bible. We definitely have the concept of sending, which is the root of the Latin missio, right, there in the scriptures. But trends in missions matter because this is what we're supposed to be doing, the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, Luke 24, Acts 1, other places. Christ has commanded us to, he was ascending, right, from his disciples. He was leaving them to wait for the Holy Spirit, and he's, at that moment, is telling them, this is what you need to be occupying yourself with. As the church age was coming, the Holy Spirit was promised, the Spirit descended in Acts 2, the church began, we have our marching orders. Go, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. So this is what we are to be doing. So any kinds of sustained changes and cultural factors, political matters that affect missions do matter to us. And so my attempt here is to cover quickly 7 trends in missions that we have seen and that we're interacting with. These are not, please understand me, I don't want to come across just an ominous tone here. This is not meant to be like, watch out, this is happening. And these are not all negative things. They're just things that are happening, right, that affect missions. And so hopefully we can delineate between some of the positives and negatives between them. But nonetheless, I want you to ask yourself as you think through these things, how can I be more sober, more vigilant, as we're instructed in 1 Peter? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, right? This is the enemy. Christ has given us our marching orders. The enemy is active as well. So how can we be more sober, more vigilant in light of these things that are going on? And how can we better understand what Paul talks about as our perilous times. He promised Timothy perilous times will come, and he began to list things out. Is it 1 Timothy 4, I believe, where that list is given? And we read that list, and we're like, oh, wow, I see that. But how can we understand those times better and be faithful believers in the midst of that? So let's just get into our first one. From evangelism and church planting being kind of the core of mission to compassion ministry and social justice being more of a predominant theme in missions. So perhaps you've seen this or noticed this. This isn't super new. This has been happening for some time. But I think it helps us to remember what the biblical, again, missions isn't a term you find in the New Testament, but the Great Commission and the outworking of that in Acts and the epistles, right? I think we can put together a definition of what missions is according to what we see. But what would you say is a biblical understanding of missions? Maybe this is a pretty big question to ask because you're like, wow, in a group like this, you think I'm going to state what I think the Bible is clearly saying about the definition of missions? But just give us some ideas. Is anybody willing to? We'll give you a T-shirt. How about that? I know that's a great motivation. Some of you really, really want this T-shirt. Anyway, missions definition. What do you? Just some basics about what missions is. Yes. Yeah, like the preaching the gospel, making disciples. That's a good place to start for sure. Anything that you would add to that or include in that? Yes. I'm sorry. It's our duty to do it. Okay, so we might say in a definition, the church's obligation to preach the gospel and make disciples. Yeah, that's great. I love that. Yes. Okay, so our obligation to preach the gospel, make disciples, especially in places where he's not known. Okay, I like that. That's good. You guys are well-trained, I think. Your pastor must talk about this. Good. Any other things? Yes. Okay. We'll let the pastor speak behind you there, Kevin. Pastor Kevin.
Eventually planting a church and then good. Raising up leaders for that
good.
Church.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. That would, as we talked about, you know, development of the New Testament, that is what we understand Christ to have meant when he says baptizing them and teaching them all these things, right? Did you have something to add?
Yeah. I would just say I think it's important to be sent from a church, not just kind of go on vacation and
yeah. Okay, you're looking at my notes here. We're going to get into a little bit of that. So good. So yeah, these you guys have a good understanding. So as we think about that, you know, one definition that we have that I have in my notes here, it's not original to me, but taking the gospel across ethnic, cultural, or linguistic or geographic boundaries to people who have not yet heard or believed in order to make disciples, teach converts, and plant disciple-making churches. You basically gave me that definition already. So there are a lot of groups, a lot of churches, a lot of individuals that are very involved in international work, more on the themes of compassion, ministry, and social justice, whether it's domestically or abroad. And they're saying, this is our mission work. This is our mission. Now, it's a mission in the sense of, you know, trying to go out and accomplish something, but is it all that there is to say about New Testament missions? You know, I think there's some concern to be had here. Some of our, I guess it's actually Steve's dad, I think, who led our mission for some time. He said this, I believe this is his quote. We have, through Baptist Men Missions, we have an effort called the World Relief. I know it's really creative, but maybe Steve could come up with a more creative word for that. But
I thought, but maybe I could.
There you go. So we have a way to facilitate funds getting directed to places where there's, you know, urgent need, earthquakes and natural disasters, as well as other types of tragedies. And it's actively happening. Our colleague Mark is always looking around the world to find ways to implement these funds. And I think it was Steve's dad who led our effort to start this World Relief Fund, who said, we don't do World Relief because we are a missionary organization. We do World Relief because we are a Christian organization. So it's not that these matters of compassion and social justice aren't, of course, things that God cares about. They are. And we should care about them as well. But I think we should be careful about what we define as our mission efforts. And a lot of our people, by the way, are very involved in these types of things as an outworking of our, what we define as missions, right? Work, right? There's the making disciples, planting churches. And as you're doing that, you can use methods like this, orphanages and relief efforts and other things to share Christ's love and to implement people that turn to Christ into local churches and so forth. There's much more that could be said about that. And maybe this has stimulated some questions that you want to add to the list that Pastor was talking about. So how, what's our response? I think we need to prioritize biblical missions. And I think we do well to use our terms carefully. When we talk about, you know, and those of you who are involved in missions committee, deacon fellowship, and other areas, elders, as you think about what you define as a church as missions, right? And where are your missions funds directed? Think through some of these factors. But anyway, this is definitely, as we get out into especially bigger environments, colleges or conferences, you know, you're often next to a lot of organizations that this is kind of their primary focus, and they're doing good work, of course, but we have some interesting differences in those ways. Trend number two, from easy access to creative access. As Steve mentioned, and I was going to sort of use it as the introduction, but William Haas's story here in The Reward Unseen, our founder in 1920 went out with a group from that formed what is now Baptist Mid-Missions and did their work there in Central Africa. Boy, things look a lot different than they did back then. They were dealing with colonialism and colonial governments that they had to get permission from to get into certain places, and they had their challenges in that way. So it wasn't necessarily easy access. But then we got into the post-World War era, and for that good long time, there was a push of missions that was just going out and entering countries as missionaries and starting a work, right? And there was, in many countries, there are still missionary visas or religious visas where you can go in this way to do this, which is wonderful. And we have those opportunities still. But more and more places have made it impossible for that kind of work to happen. They don't want foreign missionaries necessarily coming over and proselytizing would be the term that they use. And they have laws against those things. And so, yet, our command has remained the same. Our commission has remained the same. So we have to think in terms of creative access. Let me just take a couple of quick minutes to show you. So in light of this, and again, you don't mind a few self-serving plugs here and there, right? We're here as a mission agency. So I did want to give you just a little clue into one way that this particular trend is affecting some of our planning and emphasis. We're in the middle of a strategic plan implementation. We call it Amplify. It's just trying to be good stewards of the times and the resources that God's given us as a mission. And so this certainly comes up in this. I just have a quick video to show you on our Amplify initiative.
Amplify. Sound can be amplified. And electrical signals can be amplified. But what would it look like if we could amplify missions? It would look like Amplify, the Baptist Mid-Missions bold 5-year strategic vision. Amplify is designed to meet the critical needs of missions, getting more people into more places and creating more possibilities to reach the world for Christ. Through 3 targeted goals, Amplify will increase the reach and impact of global missions under the banner of Baptist Mid-Missions. Enlist. The world faces a significant spiritual need. 1 out of every 4 souls, over 2 billion people, have no access to the gospel. They lack access to the Bible in their own language, access to a gospel-preaching church in their vicinity, and access to someone who could share the gospel with them. What is even more disturbing is that this number of unreached people is greater than the entire global population of 1920, the year that Baptist Mid-Missions sent its first missionaries into what is now the Central African Republic. BMM is motivated by Christ's compassion for the lost and his desire that all would come to repentance. Because of his heart for the lost, We are working to amplify the number of new missionaries sent out each year to proclaim his salvation among the nations. Our prayer is that God will provide at least 20 new missionaries per year by 2030. Equip. Sustaining long-term missionary service takes more than passion. It demands comprehensive training, support, and ongoing resources. Drawing on over a century of experience, Baptist Mid-Missions already provides a robust support system for local churches to send their missionaries globally and to ensure that they are well prepared for a lifetime of faithful and fruitful service. Amplify will improve how BMM serves and supports both new and veteran missionaries. Our goal is also to help local churches renew their focus on the Great Commission locally and globally, enlarging their capacities to send and support missionaries. Expand. The final pillar of the Amplify vision expands global outreach into at least 5 new mission fields by 2030. After identifying the world's most under-reached nations and people groups, we will develop strategies to open these new fields for missions. By expanding into new areas, especially creative access nations, Amplify will enable us to take the gospel to souls who have never heard it. Amplify. The good news that Jesus Christ died to save us is worth amplifying so that lost souls can hear this news and respond to it. Will you join us in amplifying the gospel so that together we can do more to reach the world for Christ?
So in creative access work, you're typically looking to enter in through various professional skills in medicine, in education, in business, and many different other ways. And I know that you all know this and have been involved. We have some wonderful people out there doing this kind of work. And as countries become more restrictive, that even once we're open, we're continuing to look for those who have creative and persistent patient skills and just a character of patience to push through these barriers and look for opportunities. As we said in the video, this is where the highest populations of our world live. And so how can we do a better job of responding to this trend? We have another thing called Global Fit, which there's a flyer on our table outside the sanctuary, which is meant to be just a missionary, a way to join into missions that is different than the norm, and kind of fits more the model of those who were associates of Paul, these list of folks that we have in Acts and in the epistles who had a particular maybe season of life that they were available or an occupation that kind of uniquely prepared them, like Luke, the physician, or others who came alongside to help complement the work that Paul and the apostles were doing. Global Fit is a great way to get involved, especially in creative access areas. All right, we're not moving too fast yet. Trend number 3, from the West to the rest to from everywhere to anywhere. What this is talking about is the trend that rather than the missionary movement of 2026 being, I think it's still probably predominantly populated by Western missionaries, more and more the rest of the world is sending people into missions, not so much those that are considered Western nations like Europe, Australia, the United States, Canada. More and more of our brothers in the global South, in South America, in Southern Asia, are doing more of this work and growing in their efforts. And so that is a wonderful thing, you know, for seeing that happen. We're not upset about that, right? That our brothers are stepping up. We have great examples in the mission family of churches in Brazil getting together to send missionaries all over the world, churches in Europe that are doing this. Of course, that's the West, but point being churches in India, churches in Bangladesh that are doing this kinds of thing and sending their folks around to other needy places. But what we're noticing, though, what is more disturbing about this trend is that the West is doing less than we once were doing. And the commission has not changed for us. Our churches are not off the hook because other brothers are stepping up. And so that's something to consider. And it also creates unique opportunities for missionaries from the West to partner with missionaries from other parts of the world and to kind of bring efforts together and yet also seek to remain faithful to the scriptures in our missionary efforts. So that is definitely something that we feel regularly. Trend number four, this is where I mentioned somebody's comment over here kind of applied to this. From career missionary ministry to short-term missionary ministry becoming more of the predominant way about doing quote-unquote missions. We could talk about, somebody mentioned reading Adoniram Judson. Right? Take Adoniram Judson for an example. He did not return from the field for 30 years. And then only once after that for a brief visit before he passed away on the mission field. So obviously the transportation system has changed dramatically. The capabilities that we have to move about the world are greatly different. But also, the mindset has changed as well in many ways. Many times today, people are talking about being involved in missions by only doing a couple of weeks and calling it good or doing that regularly, which is a wonderful opportunity. Certainly not saying that you shouldn't take short-term trips. We see great value in short-term missions. Especially for the person going and experiencing the mission field and seeing these things up close and personal and being changed by them, being given a moment to pause and say, what am I doing with my life? Or what do I really prioritize in my day-to-day compared to these people? And you see and meet brothers and sisters around the world who love Jesus and have a joy overflowing whose life is very, very different than yours. So there's huge benefits and wonderful things that come about as a result of short-term ministry. But I think, again, just a warning to us to consider, are we really doing missions in the way we defined it here, I think, which was faithful to Scripture, in especially that result of seeing churches planted, disciples made, which is no small thing, and often not possible in a short-term trip, but often does happen. So we're thankful for that. So that's something that you probably were quite aware of, but suddenly something that definitely makes the list. Number five, I would put this out there, and this would probably require a little bit more time for you to think through and to read up on, and for me to even prepare a more thorough outline of presentation to you. But from careful church planting to rapid reproduction movements, we use that word movement, I think, or at least it kind of follows in the, as you think about a definition of trend, you know, it's a movement in a certain direction. This kind of word movement is thrown out there a lot in missionary talk. It's not always bad, of course, but there are these things that are actually almost branded as church planting movements or disciple making movements. That's the one that has a handy acronym, DMM. Not BMM, DMM, disciple-making movements, church-planning movements. And this kind of comes from a particular philosophy that came from a couple of different sources over the last 15, 20 years. And it's really taken hold, and especially in places in Asia. And what it means is just it's a method of missions that is focused on quick movement of establishing a people that are professing Christians, this isn't a fair representation, so understand that you need to read for yourself and understand how they would say it, but basically picking the most influential person in that group that's really charged to kind of lead that group and to take them forward, and then moving on and doing that, you know, very rapidly from place to place. And there are some really concerning parts of this philosophy in that sometimes influencers, I know that's normally used in a social media sense, but influencers that are chosen to be a part of this sometimes are not even believers. They just happen to be good at spreading the word and gathering people together. And there are other concerning things about it. The rapidity that it's being implemented and how quick they're trying to see this happen, and then they're coming back and talking about how so many people have professed Christ in this part. It's concerning. I'll just say it from my perspective. A really great book on this that we've read recently, I hope I get the title right, it's No Shortcut for Success is the name of the book. And that's not what the whole book is about, but a large chunk of the book is about that, by a guy named Rhodes. I can't think of his first name, but Matt Rhodes, thank you. So it's a helpful book. But this is certainly, especially when you get into, somebody mentioned over here in Defining Missions, we're talking about getting to places that don't have the gospel. So especially when you start thinking through some of the people groups in Asia and Africa and other parts of the world, Central Asia, in the Middle East, that don't have much gospel witness at all. Movements and missionary efforts that are going into these, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are seeking to use these type of methods, and it can be quite concerning. So think about that and be aware of that as you get more involved. Number six, from traditional financial support models to creative financial support models. The old model, the trusty traditional model of deputation and raising support has been pushed back on a lot as of late. And rather than folks going out raising 100% of their support from churches and individuals and that being their full-time thing, more and more people are thinking creatively about using their own, business or, remote work to kind of help offset costs or doing other things that would change their needs. Of course, tent making, businesses, mission, some of the work that happens in Creative Access Nations is changing this a little bit. There's not as much need to raise support when you have a job or you have a work in that country where you're going. And so this dynamic is quite prevalent. And again, our Global Fit initiative is here to kind of answer this trend and respond to this with a careful approach of allowing those kinds of creative funding methods to help and to be a part. Of course, our concern, and I'm sure your concern as a church, is that when you send a missionary out or you support a missionary, that they're able to focus on the work of the ministry, the work of making disciples. And so sometimes this can be a challenge when there's other requirements of them. But this is certainly a prominent thing. Number seven, from reaching nations around the world to reaching nations across the street. A few statistics for you. This was a couple of years old, so we're getting into some touchy subjects here. So just understand, I don't have any intention to talk about politics, so just leave that out there. But a few years ago, before the most recent changes, 14.4% of the U.S. population was foreign-born. Compared to in 1970, 4.7% of the U.S. population being foreign-born. Interesting, just a few countries that topped the list back in 2022, I know just a few years ago, immigrants from Mexico, India, China, Philippines, El Salvador were among those top nations that we had immigrant representation here in the country. Despite how we get discouraged and confused and uptight about this topic, politically speaking, we do well to respond to this very, very prevalent trend. It may not be, of course, in your neighborhood here, but in towns and cities not far away from this. Of course, we could talk about Detroit. Detroit's a fun example. We have a colleague, Dave Ferguson, who grew up in Detroit, and he loves to talk about Detroit. Especially right now. Anyway, he talks about Hamtramck as an example. Polish community, like thoroughly Polish community in his day. Now I don't know if that's true. I've been there recently and had some fun, some international experiences there. It's a very different place nowadays, isn't it? And one of my friends who lives there talks about, it's either Middle Eastern or hippie in Hamtramck. I was like, oh, that's a very interesting mix. I wouldn't have expected that. But hippie's not a nationality, by the way. But anyway, so what's our response? Just give me some thoughts about how, please try not to be controversial. I don't think you're that kind of group, but don't try to poke your brother in the side here with your comment. But what's our response as a church, as we think about the Great Commission? Maybe I'll just help lead it in that way. Yes. They need salvation too. They need salvation too. Right. How can we leverage these trends, these movements of people in under God's sovereign rule? How can we respond in biblical ways? How can we respond in gospel-oriented ways? Yes, sir. Treat them all the same way. Yeah. Yeah. Made in God's image. Not by accident that we happen to be very close to them now. And we have some wonderful things happening. I don't know. Steve mentioned it. I think I heard him mention it to somebody in conversation yesterday. But we have a wonderful kind of blossoming ministry among Indian immigrants in the Midwest. India, I think I mentioned them. One of the most populated, the highest number of immigrants are coming from India. And we have a wonderful family who's got a heart for reaching them at work in Indiana and hoping to spread that work around the world or around the country. There are, of course, Hispanic ministries that we have missionaries working in here in the States and others that are, especially our Campus Bible Fellowship missionaries have awesome opportunities on campuses. I love reading their prayer letters and they're just like listing out nations, you know, like, well, so-and-so from Iran and so-and-so from India and so-and-so from China and you know, we're having these Bible studies. So these are wonderful opportunities. And I'm so thankful for colleagues that I get to work with who have a heart to see God make a difference in these lives. And we would love, of course, to help you think creatively about how you can leverage your time and opportunity in the neighborhoods and universities and workplaces and towns and villages that you have opportunity to be a part of. So these are just some trends. These are maybe not, you know, the list is probably pretty long about what trends we could talk about. And maybe there are others that are more interesting to you than these. But these are certainly things that we see and have noticed. I'd like to, I think we're supposed to be down to 15, right? 10, 15. Thanks for the head shake. Appreciate that. I checked, but I just wanted, felt nervous that I misread my email. A way that I was thinking to end would be, well, first of all, does anybody have any comment or question at this point? I have another, a spare minute or two. Yes. Wow.
To be a permanent doctor there.
Yeah.
And just to see that and experience that right. Personally
yeah.
Brings all of these trends to
yeah. Life. Yeah. 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 That's really a great testimony. And we don't see and we're not blessed by those types of things until we expose ourselves to mission opportunities and we get involved and as challenging as these things and as our world feels. Christ said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And as we take him for his word and move forward into missions, we see him do these kinds of things and we see him change people and give people grace to make those kinds of drastic moves. And it's exciting. I love my job. I get to read all these prayer letters of missionaries and hear these reports all the time of how God's working in the world. 8 billion people. I mean, goodness. And we're a mission family of, you know, around, you know, between 450 and 500, you know, we're there's so much more work to be done. And what difference can you make? As I close, I was thinking about, somebody recently told me, some of you may be fishermen or fisherwomen, and you may know this, maybe this is old news, but for me, this was new news. Evidently, nowadays, fancy fishing boats come with this, like, GPS-directed, like, motors that keep you in one spot. Is this true? Okay, some of you are like, yeah, that's old news. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. So back in my day, it's like throw the anchor out. You know, maybe if you're rich, you got a trolling motor to kind of keep you where you want to be. But these things like keep you right where you want to be. And what is the usefulness of that? It makes sure that you don't drift, right? Because the trends of currents and the trends of the weather can easily put you in a place that you don't want to be. And as I think about that, we are easily moved, right? And there is the risk as a church, as God's people, of mission drift. And so as these factors and as the world's changing all the time come and these currents come, let's make sure that we're anchored in Scripture. Let's make sure that we're anchored in God's way, and that we're checking with Him, right? And that we're consulting with Him before we make big decisions. And yet not to let this freeze us or to give us fear about making a mistake, to go forward with God's grace, but using wise counsel from leadership and being faithful to this wonderful Great Commission that we've had a good time chatting about as we opened up. So thank you for your attention and your interest, and I trust that in God's grace you will remain faithful and be able to shift and shift in the right ways and just leverage what God's given you as far as people and resources to really make a difference in His work. So let's pray as we finish. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be involved in your work. And again, these things that we notice around us are not cause for fear or for anxiety, but they are cause for us to just commit our way to you, to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Thank you for your word that gives us your will and who you are. We pray that you'll bless us today as we continue and use this church, Lord. This is a wonderful weekend to emphasize what you're all about in the world and your glory among the nations. And I pray that you'll change us, Lord, as a result of our time with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.